Race to savings for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support you need with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Menards' 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Dumbass James, Junkyard James. Junkyard James, and with me as always, Cody Marinara. Oh, goodness, we are extremely late, and it's all my fault. I apologize to everybody who came in at 9 o'clock. Apparently, I forgot how to use technology. with me, as always, is Cody Marinara. How are you doing today, my friend?
This is 2025 Beyond the Junkyard right here. I mean, this might be worse than 2025. I don't know. You're currently frozen on my screen, I think, on the YouTube stream. So, we're off to a great start. No, there you go. You're good. I'm okay. By the end of this, you might be turning into Junkyard Jim Cornette. We'll see how that works. what did you say your name was? Dumbass Junkyard.
Dumbass James.
That might be the alter ego, Dumbass James. Oh, man. Well, we're off and running on a Thursday night. How in the hell are you, sir?
You know, it might be something about this weather that is just causing me to just lose my fucking mind. I guess it's going all right. I don't know. It's been a day. It's been a minute. I don't know how to explain it, but hey, it's par for the course, I guess, with this show. But let's jump quickly, since, you know, I cost us at least 30 minutes of time. Anyways, let's jump into the main topics today. As always, make sure you scan that QR code in the top left-hand screen of the screen and join our Discord server. Thank you to all of our affiliate partners. And make sure, as always, to like and subscribe and share this video. And, let's get going here. This weekend is Super Bowl Sunday, and we always start this show with some sports talk, so let's just ask the question, who do you think wins the Super Bowl on Sunday, my friend?
Man, I'll tell you, it better be the damn Seahawks. I cannot stand to watch another Patriots Super Bowl win. They've had enough. They've had too many. They have not suffered enough. And I think it's time. I think it's time that Sam Darnold gets him a Super Bowl ring. I'm going for the Seahawks. I think that the Patriots offense is just simply not good enough. Patriots defense is legit, very good, but I don't think that they can hold Seattle under 20 points. And Sam Darnold and the Seahawks are gonna have a day.
Yeah, no, I'm a little conflicted because the Bills fan in me is saying, what is going on? Hold on 1 second. More technical difficulties.
I'll take over the show. Nobody gives a shit. I'm just kidding.
I don't know what's going on with my computer today, guys. I fucking don't know.
Somebody wants to donate, start a GoFundMe for James to get a new computer. That would be a good time. by the end of this, we may hear an epic promo ran on the computer here.
Yeah, no, it might start before the end of the show. all right, let me try this again. I don't know who I want to win this game because one of my friends, my best friend, she's a New England Patriots supporter, and I want to support my friend because she's a great person. And at the other side, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, and so I don't want the Patriots to win another Super Bowl before my Buffalo Bills, who were supposed to have a Super Bowl by now, get a Super Bowl. So long story short, I'm just there for the commercials. I thought it would be fun. So tonight is NFL Honors. And so I thought it would be fun to think about.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
The Super Bowl, and so obviously you think the Seahawks probably win this game. Who do you think then, if the Seahawks win, will get the MVP of the Super Bowl?
As much as I would like to think that Jackson Smith and Jigba goes off, I think it's going to be either Sam Darnold or Kenneth Walker. I think that Sam's going to probably be able to spread the ball around and give it to his receivers. Smith and Jigba might be more double teamed than he would like, and might cause, you know, problems on that front. But I think it could open up some holes for Kenneth Walker. Sorry, I'm having difficulties myself.
Okay, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I think that Sam Darnold probably wins the MVP award, and yeah. That's what I'm going to go with, Sam Darnold.
That would be fun. Sam Darnold, by the way, is the first NFL first quarterback of the 2018 NFL draft to go to a Super Bowl. First over Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen. But for me, MVP of the Super Bowl, since I don't really care who wins, I have one for both sides of the matchup. If it's the New England Patriots winning the Super Bowl this year, they're going to have to win this game. You said their offense ain't great, so they're going to have to win by the defense. And so I think it could be someone like Christian Gonzalez on the Patriots, maybe gets that clutch interception or whatnot to seal the game away. But if the Seahawks win, it probably means the offense absolutely dominated the Patriots. And so I'm going to go with Sam Darnold as well to win the Super Bowl there, which is crazy because Sam Darnold, like 2 years ago, was a career backup, and now he might win a Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP. And then last question about the Super Bowl, who's going to have the best commercial?
I mean, I don't even know the list of people that are doing commercials, but, you know, I would not be surprised if maybe Doritos or somebody like that, Frito-Lay, Bush, but, you know, Budweiser, one of them gives us an epic commercial to remember. With the best commercial of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll tell you who won't win best commercial, and that's fucking Pepsi, you pieces of shit. The best commercial is probably going to be the Pringles commercial because Sabrina Carpenter is in it, so it'll probably be something stupid and funny, stupid enough to be the most hilarious and best commercial. Let's move on from the Super Bowl, though. There's a lot of other sporting events that are going around, including the NBA trade deadline that ended this afternoon. And a team that was unexpected in the NBA to make a push and be a buyer at the deadline was the Washington Wizards, who traded for Anthony Davis and a bunch of other relief players. Without having to trade any of their personal draft picks. They traded a bunch of other draft picks that they've previously traded for from other trades. I think from the Bradley Beal deal, and there was one or two other people that they moved and got picks for, and they used those picks to get Anthony Davis. Are the Washington Wizards legit contenders, or are they just pretending to be a good NBA team?
I think they're honestly in the middle right now. They're more of a contender than they were next year. They will be than they have been the last 10 years. I think if you can get 40-ish, 45 games out of Anthony Davis, 45 to 50 out of Trae Young, and I mean, that would be good enough. I think they could win between 35 to 45 games, compete for a play-in position, or maybe even get a 6 or 7 seed, depending on how bad the East is next year. With Keyshawn George, Alex Saar, Trey Young, Anthony Davis, Bilal Coulibaly, Trey Johnson III, bench guys. I mean, you've now established a good depth on the team. Yeah, a lot of them are young still, but Saar has grown exponentially this year over last year, and Trey Johnson will be in a second season. And I think that, and even some pundits think that maybe their best player isn't even on the roster yet. They got a top 8 protected pick as long as they finish 8th or above, and they should. Davis won't be playing this year, I don't think. Trey Young won't be playing this year, so the tank mode is still in effect. So I think if they get a top 3 pick, they can easily be a top 4 best team in the East next year. Mm-hmm. They get a 4th or 5th or 6th pick, I think they can still be a 4, 5, 6, 7 type seed team. Anything between that and 8, maybe they'll be in a play-in type of spot. But, yeah, they're in a better position now than they were for sure 2 days ago. And the good thing is, like you said, they didn't give away any of their pick. I'm a Wizards fan, as you guys can tell now, before this trade even happened. but we've been shitting for so long. Why would you call yourself a fan? People just laugh at you. The pick they gave away, the biggest one was Oklahoma City's for the first round pick this year was Oklahoma City's. It was going to be a 30th pick, wasn't going to be much of anything. And the picks that they have are getting so far down the road that by then there should be contenders, hopefully, and it won't matter. And a great thing about it, too, is if Davis doesn't pan out very well next year, they can get out of their deal. So, it's kind of a win-win, and they just kind of say, all right, move on and let's try it again and get somebody else. Or hopefully that draft pick they get this year is a superstar and they could just make another trade, maybe for one of their bench pieces or a couple more draft picks and get a better player overall. So, it's going to be interesting. I think next year is going to be one of the more interesting seasons. And definitely as a Wizards fan, it gives you a little bit of a glimmer of hope than the bottoms of despair that we've been in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think what this proves and what this may be is the Wizards saying, yeah, we're probably not going to be a contender this year. We'll get a top 10 pick, but it also allows, I think, any potential free agents who are cool with a 1 or 2 year deal to say, we got Trae Young and Anthony Davis next year. We don't need you to be the number one guy, but you can fill in. I would be interested in seeing someone an aging star like Kevin Durant, who is having he's having issues with his current team. If he wants to hop out of his current deal and maybe go play for his hometown, Washington Wizards. Last topic on the sports scene, the Olympics opening ceremony is tomorrow night. Are you excited for the Olympics, or are you kind of like me and not, don't really care?
I'm a little bit more excited this year than I have been in the past maybe 4 to 8 years. I enjoy the Winter Games more than I enjoy the Summer Games. I love the skeleton. I love the bobsledding. Jamaican bobsled team, baby, for the win. Those things, those sports just fascinate me. And then, of course, you've got curling. Curling is what it is. But you've got ice hockey, and that's the sport I look forward to the most in the Olympics. And we got the return of the NHL stars for the most part, except for the exception of the Russian players, which sucks because we could have seen Ovi in his last Olympic Games potentially, unless he goes to Russia and plays for a few years and then gets on the Russian Olympic team in 2030. Yeah, my bad. I'm excited for the hockey portion of it. It's going to be cool seeing the NHL players back into it. It actually gives me a little bit more of a reason to watch. I don't feel as hyped for the Olympics as I did maybe 12, 14, 16, 18 years ago. But I am looking forward to it. I do enjoy the Winter Games quite a bit.
Yeah, I remember growing up and like middle and high school, especially the summer games. And because we were out of school and didn't have to, you know, do adult things, we could just sit there and watch countless hours of summer Olympic stuff. But can't really do that anymore. So I don't really care with anything except maybe ice hockey, like you said. Though I will say Lindsey Vonn is doing her, was it like alpine skiing, I think is what she does. Yeah. And this might be her final Olympics. So that might be some historic stuff to watch. No, I'll just catch the good stuff on social media. Not a big deal to me. Plus they're overseas. So all the good stuff happens when I'm trying to go to sleep.
Yeah.
All right. We breezed through that sports talk just because, well, this episode should be almost over, but we started 30 minutes late. I'm sorry, guys. we're going to jump into the mid-card meltdown, and it's not going to be me throwing this computer out of the window of the building that I'm in. It's going to be the biggest thing that grinded your gears. And wrestling this week, I'll give you the floor first. Anything big grinded your gears today, my friend? Or this week?
The only thing that really just I didn't love, don't love, or will probably not love is the fact that the Royal Rumble was in Saudi Arabia. I understand it from a business perspective, why we're going to Saudi Arabia. I understand. But golly, man. And yes, over the past 7-8 years, the crowd atmosphere has gotten better, but it still was just not good. And I for some of these people, and believe me, I'm not a far leftist. I'm not a leftist. I'm not a far rightist. I'm whatever. I just still don't understand the fact that we go to these events and the men can dress just like normal. And yes, it's historic that women can wrestle on these cards and I get it. But when they're in full body suits, I mean, we talk about inequalities in America and people stand up and protest all that shit. And yet they won't stand up for that. That's inequality. There's not one thing that women can not do in America that a man can, with some exceptions like sports. But in America and most countries overseas, you can do it to kind of, you know, dress like normal, do kind of whatever you want to do. We go to Saudi Arabia and they can't dress like they usually do. They can barely do any promos, and nobody bats an eye about that.
Yep.
Nobody bats an eye. But the loudest minority group will make sure to tell you about what they really feel is inequalities in America. I think we're fighting wrong battles here. That's just me. I'm not trying to get political with this at all. But
oh, don't worry. Don't worry. just wait a minute.
believe me, that irked me too. But yeah, I want to go with that one because I had a feeling you were probably going to go with that, I'm sure you're going to go with. So I went the other way.
So I'll say this. I don't understand. Like, does the pro wrestling in Saudi Arabia just cancel out the women's segment when the women are wearing their scantily clad clothing every other week of the year? Because if, like, if they're not allowed to dress that way, or is it okay because it's not on Saudi? I don't. That's the biggest thing that I look. The women look like the Power Rangers dream team in that Women's Royal Rumble this week. And there were some wrestlers whose attire was great. Like Sol Ruka, it didn't really change how she dressed on a normal basis just because that's how she dressed. But there are, it was like Liv Morgan, like her entire gimmick is the hot blonde girl that shows her ass, and she can't do that in Saudi Arabia. So, I get where you're coming from. All right. My turn. You want to know what grinded my gears?
If this wasn't the last episode of Beyond the Junkyard, this might be. So it was good knowing everybody, and we'll see you next year. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. I'm going to show you what grinded my gears with a short clip. Here we go.
Now the face and the eyes of the champion.
All right, so what grinded my gears was MJF. No, I'm just kidding. What grinded my gears is, like, for I don't give a shit what you believe on in the political realm. You can be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez far left. You can be Nick Fuentes far right. I don't give a shit. But can we not bring mainstream politics into pro wrestling? Like, I don't care. I have my opinion on the issue, and I'm not going to tell you you can't have your opinion on it. Just, I hate when crowds get super uber political. I hate when wrestlers get super uber political. Because, to be completely honest, the stuff that happens outside of the arena ain't really supposed to be part of the storyline inside the wrestling ring. If you want, and this is where I agree with some of the casual wrestling fans. When they say, like, you have to take the idea that what you see on TV is a TV show. In a different universe outside of America, and American politics shouldn't determine the outcome of anything. Look, I'm cool with these wrestlers having their opinions. I just don't like when it's being displayed on the TV. Or the crowd hijacks the chanting with a political chant. Because if it was a different chant, like a We Love Donald Trump chant or something like that, then it would have been criticized by by people. And the point of pro wrestling isn't to divide people. We get that enough in our daily political discourse and on social media and all of that. We get that all the freaking time. The point of pro wrestling, and the reason why I love pro wrestling, and I say this story all the time, is like I went to WrestleMania in 2017, and the person sitting next to me could have been the biggest liberal that there ever was. I hope not. It was my best friend, but I'm just saying, it could have been the biggest liberal of all time, could have been the biggest, you know, could have disagreed with me on everything. Except the fact that we were there to watch pro wrestling. And that's what we're there for, is to watch pro wrestling, not to hijack the TV show with your political beliefs. You can have those political beliefs, but there is a certain time and place that I think they should be displayed. It kind of irked me. Not necessarily because I disagree with the sentiment, though I do lean more on the side of law enforcement than not. I understand why people have that sentiment. But I don't feel like that was the appropriate place and time to explain what's going on with your political discourse. I don't know. You can have your say on it.
No, I totally agree with that. And listen, fans are going to chant whatever they're going to chant. It is what it is. But it's the same reason why I watch sports and why I watch part of the reason why I watch wrestling.
there's enough bullshit that is out there in your everyday life, in your news, that I watch sports and I watch wrestling part of it to get away from the everyday stress and shit from everyday life. That's my way to get out. That's my way to detach myself from reality. It's there for me to be my entertainment, for me to unplug my mind, get lost in the game, get lost in the matches, get lost in the story, get lost in the 2 hour, 3 hour show or game. So I don't have to worry about and think about that stuff on the outside world. And I will give the AEW commentary team kudos that they didn't comment on that. They definitely could have. And I'm glad that they didn't. And wrestling, just like sports, it's supposed to bring people together, right? One of the things that I really, really loved and enjoy wrestling shows in general, but especially when we went to WrestleMania, it's so fucking scary to say this, almost 10 years ago.
Shit.
Next year will be 10 years since we went to WrestleMania. That hurts to say that.
We're getting old, my friend.
Oh, God. Which hopefully means when they go to Nashville in a few years, we can go. Even though the ticket prices, I'm going to be filing for bankruptcy. But anyways, one thing I just really awesome, and it was so noticeable, is so many different walks of life coming together for a common cause to watch wrestling because they enjoy wrestling, because they love wrestling, because they're interested in wrestling. And we're there as one, and we're having a great time. When you go to Disney World, and I don't know if you've ever been or not, but I've been twice. I'll be 100% honest with you, and this is no way, shape, or form meaning to be in any sort of derogatory way at all. I feel like the minority at Disney World. There are so many people that are in from different walks of life, different races, different backgrounds, whatever. And it's like, damn, I kind of feel like the minority here. But it's cool because people come, they vacation here, they hear about Disney World, they want to go there. That's why they go there. WrestleMania is the same thing. There's 70,000 people inside that stadium. WWE has all the numbers, but I'm sure over 100 countries, all 50 states, all different walks of life. And I just in our section alone, I mean, there was black people, white people, there was Asians, there were I feel like I heard a couple British people or something like that a few rows down from us, which I mean, I know there was British people there because they like to come over, but it was still, it's cool to have that much in common with all walks of life. And you're there to watch wrestling. You're there to get lost in the entertainment for 4 hours plus and just enjoy it. And that's what we did. It was a big ass party. It was fun. It was awesome. And I wish that we just keep that mindset. I understand you're going to have your beliefs and whatnot, and that's fine. And for the wrestlers, you're going to have your beliefs. You have a platform. Yes, on TV can be a platform. I'm trying to get away from that. There's enough for division and all that stuff outside the world. Use your Twitter platform. Use your TikTok. Do it then. Don't put it on TV because I'm trying to get away from that.
Right.
Whatever side you lean on, I'm an independent that leans right. I will go ahead and say that. And you can hate me all you want to. I don't care. I don't want to hear MAGA on my screen. I don't want to hear Trump, go Trump on my screen. I don't want to hear any of that. Just like I don't want to hear anything on the left. Just because I'm there to watch entertainment. I want to be entertained. Right. I don't want that in my storyline because it's one of those things you just don't want to talk about. But I hate you because you're fat. I hate you because I'm rich and you're not. Bullshit stuff. Cool. Great. Let's run with that. Make it entertaining. Yeah, I've gone on long enough, but that's kind of what I said.
You know, the last comment I'll say on this is the moment you divide or ostracize or kind of remove the opinion of part of your audience, is it's a slippery slope, because Like, I just imagine if there's somebody that watched AEW for the first time last night and they saw the main event, the biggest, you know, the biggest show of the match of the night for a opportunity at the AEW World Championship, and the biggest part of that match wasn't necessarily the storyline behind the match. What it led to, it was the fact that the fans said that chant. And that's why AEW is getting talked about, not because of the storylines, not the fact that Brody King gets an opportunity to be AEW champion in Australia, but the fact that the fans did a chant is why AEW is being mentioned. And I don't know, when that's a slippery slope, and it's on both sides. When you got to figure out a way to, when you're in an entertainment forum, to bring people of all shapes, colors, creeds, ethnicities together to enter, you know, that's why I'm not a big fan of political messaging in movies or in sports or in any of that, because the moment you start to show a political bias, you run the risk of losing a possible part of your fan base. One more thing that might take all of us off, we got in the comments here. Oh, hey, Ric Flair may go back to wrestle, die in the ring again. So, good job, Rick. All right.
Please don't. Stay home.
Right. Speaking of AEW Dynamite and AEW Grand Slam Australia, which, by the way, is next Wednesday or Sunday.
Saturday.
Next Saturday, Valentine's Day. That show is elite. It's stacked. I think they took the rumors of last year that it wasn't a very stacked show, and they gave them a stacked show this year. We have a AEW title match between Brody King and MJF, like I mentioned. We get Kenny Omega and Andrade, I believe. Is that right? Hangman and Andrade for the number one contendership spot at Revolution. And there's a couple other matches, I think. Orange Cassidy and Tony Storm versus Marina Shafir and Wheeler Yuta. The person that takes the pin gets shaved bald. Please let it be Wheeler Yuta. And just a bunch of other – I think there's going to be a couple other matches added to that card. It's almost a pay-per-view on a Saturday night version of Collision. Your thoughts on the show, Grand Slam?
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to treat it as much of a pay-per-view without it being officially a pay-per-view as possible, and it's great. You know, with this weird timing between World's End in December and Revolution in March, you got 3 months. You got to do some sort of compelling television, especially now that you're going overseas. You got to capitalize on the sold out arena that they had last year. You got to try to top it some way. I know there were about 6,000 or 7,000 tickets sold so far for that arena. I think it can hold 15,000, 16,000. So they need to spice up the ticket sales a little bit. They need to lower the prices too, because that's been one of the biggest things I've seen on social media from the Australian crowd, is how expensive the show is just to get in on the general admission side of things. And I get it, when you're having that kind of expense, you have to try to make it up some sort of way. And AEW is not notoriously known for very expensive ticket prices. So it's almost like warranted when they do, because they have to make up something in some capacity. Now, and I hope, and I'm bringing this up in the wrong way, and I shouldn't be, but I really hope that this year the takeaway is not AEW using another promotion's wrestling ring and it being smaller. because I feel the ring at Royal Rumble was smaller than what it typically is. It looks smaller to me. It doesn't matter, but I just hope that that's not the takeaway, is AEW's ring was smaller and they use an independent promotions ring. I think this is going to be a really good show. It's something that is needed to kind of have the middle split between two pay-per-views from December of last year into March of this year. It's a good way to build hype and get people excited for your show.
thank you to Tony Khan for already ruining my idea from last week of how to debut AJ Styles. Now I'm no longer thinking AJ is even coming to AEW because of last night. So thank you for that. No, the show's stacked. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great show. I'm very interested to see who's going to take that fall and go bald. That's going to be fun. But yeah, should be a pretty good show. And hopefully, you know, we can lower the ticket prices a little bit, fill that arena up a little bit more, and give them the best bang for the buck.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be an incredible show. Collision. I don't know if you saw, I posted on the YouTube channel a short. They had one of their best shows, I think, in a while, at least in viewership numbers. I think almost 500,000 people watched. So there's some momentum growing on Saturday nights. And so maybe, hopefully, Grand Slam Australia can build off of that, and Collision this week can build off of that as well. AEW is also, according to Sean Rossap and Fightful Select, not done adding wrestlers to the fold. They're still trying to rebuild their roster. This comes after the fact that at the beginning of this year, a lot of AEW wrestlers' contracts expired and were not renewed. It seems like Tony Khan cleared out some of his unused talent, and there he's going to bring in some more talent, especially it appears in the women's division. With no confirmed names of people that are signed, but it sounds like more women are coming to AEW. My hope is we see Dakota Kai, or I think she goes by something else in the indie scene, or Priscilla Kelly show up in AEW soon. But we shall see. Your thoughts? You mentioned just a minute ago you don't think AJ Styles is coming. So, anybody you think they may be adding, especially in that women's division? I can't even think of any women free agents that are like big name talent that would be worth mentioning.
I've been a little bit out of the loop with it, but I remember saying sometime last year before we ended for the year about a talent that was in Japan that looked to be going to WWE. I honestly can't remember her name.
Is it Maki Ito?
It may have been. I thought it was somebody else. But they said she was WWE bound. Maybe she could be going to AEW instead, which would be kind of cool. You know, I'm not really sure, just because of the fact that the women's roster, to me, is pretty stacked as is. And there's even some women that aren't on the show every week. We haven't seen Mercedes Moné in a couple weeks. We haven't seen Athena on AEW TV a whole lot. Billy Starks, of course, still in ROH. So I have Jamie Hayter back there as well. So there's still, you know, Ty Conti. There's still quite a few gals, Red Velvet, that are either in ROH or just kind of chilling and catering because they don't have anything for them right now. That, I mean, if you add a couple more pieces, that's fine. But we've got a pretty good, solid, stacked roster as is, and it's good to add more talent for sure. But I like where the direction of the women's division is at right now.
Yeah, that women's division. Someone made a post that the fact that AEW is adding more women to the roster and they still only have one or two segments a show. And they make a good point. Like, maybe we don't necessarily need anybody, but like you said, it's always good to add talent. You mentioned Jamie Hayter. I don't know if you pay attention to Collision a whole lot. She's been in some vignettes recently. Sounds like she's starting a tag team with Alex Windsor. So, and so we'll be, I guess, seeing where that leads. I'm sure that'll end with them winning the AEW Women's Tag Team Championships at All in London, England, because they're both from England. But I don't know. The women's roster to me is stacked. Like, you think the women we see on a normal basis, Willow, Harley, Sisters of Sin, Tekla, Chris Statlander. Like, she's your world champion, and she barely gets a whole lot of time on TV. Megan Bain and Penelope Ford just came back. So you're battling for time. So it's going to be interesting to see who they add and what they do. It's kind of my biggest concern when AEW adds a wrestler now is, do they just get that, you know, couple-week push and then disappear, like Ace Austin? Or do they have a long-term vision for those wrestlers? We have this topic here. Roman Reigns. You mentioned the Royal Rumble and being in Saudi Arabia. I meant to mention this earlier. Just wait till next year when WrestleMania is in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, God, yeah, I'm not. I'm not looking forward to that.
You're going to have to watch WrestleMania at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
It's not so much a bad thing because at least, you know, we're not up at 11, 12 o'clock at night on a Sunday going into Monday, but still, it's not the same.
Right. Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble. He gets to main event WrestleMania, and he already decided who he's fighting. CM Punk. Imagine 10 years ago, CM Punk walks out of WWE 10 or so, 12 years ago, however many years ago it's been since then, thinking in 2026, the main event of WrestleMania would be CM Punk as champion fighting Roman Reigns as the challenger in the main event of WrestleMania. Is this a good thing or a bad thing for WWE?
I don't think it's a bad thing. It's actually got me a little bit invested because I like Roman. I'm a Roman fan. I do not like Fragile Phil. And I want Roman Reigns to absolutely kick Phil's ass at WrestleMania. So I'm invested. I'm going to be watching that and being hopefully, you know, cheering on Roman winning the world title. We'll see. But it's not a bad thing. Take away that perspective of it. They're two main stars, two huge stars going against each other for a world title. They got to make that world title feel a little bit more relevant than it has been. Got to try to make it feel as equal to the WWE Undisputed title or whatever they call that belt. The WWE title. They got to try to put on par with it. And having that big match for the world title makes it feel pretty damn important with two of the mega stars in the company. So it's a good decision. I'm not mad with it. I'm glad that we get a good 2 month build to WrestleMania for it to create a good storyline. Both guys delivered really good promos on Monday. So it's a kicking off on a good way, on a good note. So hopefully they build some good momentum you know, the match is going to be fine, but it's the build that worries me because Roman notoriously has not been great on the mic, but I thought he held his own pretty decently on Monday. So hopefully the build continues to go up from here leading into Mania.
Yeah, I would say from a WWE perspective, this is a good thing. And I mentioned this on a different Discord server Saturday, whenever the Royal Rumble was on, that Roman winning makes a lot of sense because you got to look at how Triple H and how WWE in general over the past couple years have really booked their big shows. It's not necessarily about the best wrestlers or even the wrestling at all. It's about creating the biggest moments. And I think you're going to have to get somebody to be able to put people in those seats and spend $70,000 for the weekend. And Roman Reigns will sell tickets. CM Punk will sell tickets. And so, I get a lot of wrestling fans were mad. Someone like Oba Femi or LA Knight or some of those like fan favorite wrestlers didn't win. But the fact is Roman is the safe bet to sell tickets and to create a viral moment. and it, Roman's in the main event, in the back of your head, you have to assume Roman's in the main event. There's always an opportunity when Roman's in the main event for some shenanigans and The Rock to show up or something. And so tickets will be sold. They're probably going to sell out. Not that Mania wouldn't sell out, but it's going to be easier to sell Roman Reigns and LA Knight fighting CM Punk on at WrestleMania. And you're going to create a bigger, more viral moment. And so, yeah, I think this is a good thing from the business perspective. And, yeah, I CM Punk can finally say he main evented a WrestleMania night two, because he main evented night one, I think, last year. So, yeah, it's going to be a they'll probably give us a pretty decent match in terms of wrestling, but from a business perspective, they'll sell a lot of merch with this being the big thing on the screen. It's not the biggest shock to me. In fact, on Saturday's episode that I recorded before the Royal Rumble, I predicted Roman Reigns to win, just like I predicted Liv Morgan to win. And I know a lot of people are upset Liv Morgan won, but when she finishes second place 2 years in a row, there's probably a good chance she wins it the next year, and that's her story, her redemption storyline. That's a different story. So to end the show, I thought, you know, the last couple of weeks since we've been back, I've kind of ended with like a hypothetical, a what if you were allowed to do this, who would you pick kind of thing. But I'm changing it up this week, and I'm going to give you an opportunity before we say the final words. Anything that we didn't talk about sports-wise or wrestling-wise or really anything in general, anything that's on your mind, forever say it now or forever hold your peace, you got a couple minutes. What's your final thought, my friend?
Well, for one, I'm going to be creating a short. I'm going to see if I can do it tomorrow. I don't want to put a good time frame onto it because I just got to find time to do it. We have, you know, a family and work and stuff like that. It's just hard to make time. But I'm going to make a short regarding potential logo ideas for the Washington Commanders. They created a bit of a stir on Commanders Twitter and social media over this past week with a new variation of the current logo that they dropped. I have a really good in detail kind of thoughts that I want to provide about that. But I want to do that in a short because, quite frankly, I don't feel like doing it right here. And I have visuals and all that stuff, and I don't have it on here. So we'll save that for the shorts. One thing I do want to discuss is the whole AJ Styles thing. It's weird. AJ Styles is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. But because I have not been a biggest WWE watcher over the last couple of years, kind of fallen out of the AJ Styles circle as far as the storylines and the matches and stuff like that. Every now and then I would catch a storyline he's in or a match he's in. But I haven't been following him as much as I did in the first 4 or 5 years that he was in WWE. So obviously, you know, you read the dirt sheets and see that potentially he's the next to retire after Cena. You think you have a whole year and you're like, all right, we're going to start watching Raw a little bit more or SmackDown, whatever show he's on, and watch the PLEs you know, support the man. Like I have been for the last 20 years. Going back to TNA days, to be emotionally invested and prepare for yet another one of my favorites to retire. And then you get the whole Gunther thing, put your career on the line at Rumble. And I'm like, no, man, he ain't going to retire this early. No way. It's at least going to Mania. I can at least have 2 or 3 months to prepare myself for Mania. That's where you want to retire, right? And going into it on at the Rumble, I was like, surely not. Surely not. He's not going to lose. Surely not. They're not going to do that. yet he passes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost want to say that this was the makeup finish that they should have done at Saturday Night's Main Event in December for Cena's retirement match. That should have been the way he went out. Not tapping, but passing out.
Right.
But AJ loses. And for a minute, I'm like, man, that's wild. There's no way he's done, right? I mean, he's got a whole year. No way. And, you know, starts taking the gloves off and then leaves them on and leaves the ring.
Right.
So it instantly creates the speculation in my head, oh, he may not be done. He said it, that this was his last contract. There ain't no way he's going to AEW. And then of course, last week, you know, we had a show before the Rumble, and I'm thinking, I'm laying out my thought of, or maybe 2 weeks ago was whenever the hell the Rumble was, and I gave the hypothetical of how AJ would debut, and Tony Khan has kind of ruined that for me now. So I don't know if AJ is coming or not. But boy, the AEW roster was lighting up X with teases of AJ coming. Christopher Daniels didn't do any favors either. He finally tweeted, and as one of his best friends and one of the guys he wrestled a lot in TNA, he finally broke his silence on Twitter today, I believe. And at the very end of it, he said, AJ, you always were and always will be elite. And I'm like, man, y'all give me hope. Y'all give me hope. I wish AJ does show up. I think it'd be the best way for him to go out on his terms. He still has it. He just do it for the final. Do a full year if you really want to in AEW, March to March, however you want to do it. Or even do March to December. I don't care. Right. Plenty of matches you can have. You can have your real retirement tour, and they know how to treat it. They know how to treat legends in the retirement tours. But going on your own terms. And even if he doesn't go to AEW, I'm not going to be mad at it. He went on his own terms. Not many guys get to say that. So it's a catch 22. I mean, I guess I'm happy for him either way, but I'm hoping still we can see the phenomenal one in AEW before too long.
Yeah. See, I don't know if you watched AJ's, like, he you know, every time somebody retires, they leave their boots or something in the ring. AJ did. And then he's hopped on Stephanie McMahon's podcast today and basically saying without saying, like, never say never on him being a wrestler again. Triple H said he would like to have him as a backstage guy. I don't see AJ being a backstage guy or an on-screen manager or whatnot. I don't see AJ doing that. But Ricochet was asked about AJ Styles, and Ricochet said he was too. AJ doesn't have the guts to show up in AEW, and he's too old to show up in AEW. Which, if you know anything about AEW, nobody's too old to show up in AEW. I don't know. I think he shows up. I don't think anybody's going to say anything without a shadow of a doubt right now, because we're not. I don't even. It's like, is AJ's contract like officially over, or I don't think he's technically a free agent yet, so he can't say where he's going next. But I think he's done in February sometime, and he'll be. I don't know. Part of me really thinks he'll show up at Revolution, or even if he is a free agent right now, he's not going to spoil his return or his debut in AEW. I think AJ shows up in some capacity. I have a feeling that he will. For me, my final thought is somebody buy me a new computer. That way we don't have to. No, I'm kidding. my final thought is to be completely honest, I've been doing the solo shows on Saturday for a good part of six or eight months now that we've had shows, and I like doing them, but the main point of me doing the solo show was just to kind of rant about WWE for a little bit, and because I was really disappointed in how they were booking some things, and to be honest, I don't know. There hasn't been a whole lot of negativity from, and I kind of look at WWE's business model a little bit differently now than I did when I started this. And so it kind of gets a little, like, I don't have a whole lot to rant about on the Saturday show. And so all that to say, there probably will not be a Saturday show this week just because I ain't got nothing really to talk about. But I will probably reserve those Saturday shows for like a special occasions when something big happens that we can't fit into the show and I just want to rant about it. So they'll still be there, but they won't be an every week occurrence. I'll end it that way. And with that being said, we're going to end the show here. Make sure that you join the Discord, scan that QR code on the left-hand side of the screen. Make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That is the Junkyard Media Group YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, just go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, share this video. If you're watching this on my X feed, go over to the YouTube and subscribe and like the video and share it. And et cetera, et cetera. And that's how this stuff gets out, is by some fan engagement. For whatever reason, the last couple of short form videos that I've released just haven't reached a whole lot of people. And part of that is because the algorithm doesn't think that anybody's watching. So we need you to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Share this with people. That way the algorithm sees that we got a little bit of a fan base here. Without any further ado, all of our affiliate links in the description box on the YouTube channel or in the audio version of this that gets posted afterwards. We'll send it over now for the final word to my good man, Cody Marinara.
Thank you, sir. I can't think of all the affiliate partners we have for the show. They definitely carry the ability for us to be able to have this podcast. So hit all the links in the description. Help support the podcast if you will. Like Mr. Junkyard Jamie over there said, scan the QR code, join the Discord, like the video, subscribe. That way we can get the video out and share it with other people who are passionate about sports and wrestling. Or seeing to Little Life Nobody's talk for an hour or so on Thursday nights. Either way works. With that being said, the big game is this weekend. We all know what that means. A lot of pizza, a lot of wings, a lot of sauce. I mean, a lot of sauce. There's going to be so much sauce going around that I think I might get high off of sauce. That's how much sauce it's going to be. I might get drunk off the sauce. I don't know. It's going to be a saucy time. And I know what I'll be doing Sunday night. I hope y'all will partake and enjoy it as well. And get frisky with the sauce, ladies and gents. Get frisky with the sauce. Just don't let it burn you. Some of that can be burned. So just be careful with it. But especially this weekend, every day, into next weekend. Until we catch y'all back here next Thursday night, hopefully with less problems than we did tonight. I can't guarantee it because this show is unpredictable. That's how we like it. next week, you might see Junkyard James turn into Junkyard Jim Cornette. I mean, we really don't know. It's an unscripted show, guys. That's the beauty of it.
Bunch of fucking assholes.
So there you go. That's it. That's actually the final words. I'm not going to say my final words. I'm just kidding. We know Junkyard Jim Cornette over there is going to say saucy. So on behalf of him, myself, and everybody, say saucy, friends. We'll see you next week.
This is wrestling without the filter. This is Beyond the Jungle.